experts are back. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35 and we're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Our guests today are Sergeant Bill Burgoyne of the White Pigeon Police Department and Mike Morgan from the International Police Work Dog Association, as well as the owner of Mid-Michigan Kennels here in the area. We were talking about a day in the life of the police dog, and we got into the issue of how long of the career do they have. But one of the questions Rick asked during the break, and I think it's a great question for you, Sergeant, is what is your attachment to the dog? I would imagine having a partner for such a long time that when the dog does retire, it's still a part of the family. So what is that like?
Yeah, it's a strong bond that you have. You know, the dog's with you at home, the dog's with you at work. So when you do retire them, it is kind of a sad day, you know, when you have to do that. Like now I have, you know, Nero that goes to work with me and I have to leave Blesk at home, the retired dog. And there's a lot of times when I first started out that I would take Blesk, lock him up in the house so he couldn't see me, go get Nero and put him in the patrol car and, you know, take him to work with me because the dog still wants to go. You know, he doesn't realize that he's getting old and slow.
Right. Yeah. The spirit is still there, even if not necessarily the ability to do the work properly.
But do most officers end up with their dog after they retire?
I'd say a majority of do.
It would
like
make
I said,
sense.
You get it really attached to the dogs. Like I said, you know that you're with them constantly.
I bet. And then your relationship with that dog probably does change a little bit. You know, once that happens, you're able to do different things with them that you weren't doing before. Or do you still have the eyes of the next dog watching in, so you have to be careful?
No, you can divide it up pretty good. You know, now that Blesk is retired, my first dog, he can go to the store with me. You know, sit out in the car, go to the movie store. Where you know, if I'm right. going, you know. Anywhere on a ride or whatever, throw him in the truck with me and he can go with me. And
so now you have a 24/7 companion.
Yes.
The one dog during the daytime and then the other one at night. That's fantastic.
Interesting. Mike, let me ask you this question. We talked about where you go to get the dogs and why you go to Europe. After you get the dogs that you've got slated for potential police work, what is the process like in terms of the training of those animals and socializing them for that work and then transitioning over to the police handler like Bill, who's going to work with the dogs on an ongoing basis? Tell our listeners what that's like.
Well, when I get to Europe, we've already got kind of a schedule set of what breeders we're going to visit and what training clubs we're going to hit that it may have dogs that I'll be interested in. And I've got a score sheet and I'm testing for, you know, depending what I want to buy as far as dual or single purpose, what I'm looking for. But, you know, Bill talked about the tennis ball or the Kong toy or the tug toy. They've got to have that overwhelming desire for a ball or a Kong or that tug for me to want to buy them. And the biggest confusion is what ball drive really is. I mean, if you tell me your dog has ball drive and he likes it when you play with a ball, what I'm hearing is a dog that's learned that if I play with a ball, you interact with me. And I like your interaction, so therefore, as long as you're playing with me with the ball, I want it. What I do when I test a dog for ball drive is I simply just drop the ball on a floor. And that dog should just turn himself inside out to try to get to that ball and get a hold of it. And then I tell everybody in the room, and this took a little bit of doing over in Europe for the first couple of trips, I don't want you interacting and stimulating the dog. I don't want, good boy, what do you got? Nothing. Dead silence. And what I'm looking for is a dog that says, I don't care what you do. I got what I want, and they mouth the ball, or they bat it around like a cat with the ball on the floor, and they chase it, and they chew it, and they're totally satisfied just to have the ball. They don't need any outside stimulation from us. That's true ball drive. With that, I also need hunt drive, and that's where we act like we throw the ball, and it ends up under my arm real sneaky and slick-like, but the dog's like, where to go? Where to go? And they're almost panic-stricken because that ball is now missing in action. And between those two drives, I can teach a dog to find explosives and narcotics because if I teach the dog, when you smell this and you do this, you can have this. So we typically are looking to train one of two types of responses in a dog. We either want an aggressive response, which is where the dog kind of scratches and paws at the place where the smell's coming from. Or we want a passive response, which is when the dog smells that odor coming out of a suitcase or out of a cabinet. It sits. That's a passive response. Now, of course, all bomb dogs need to be passive. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to have a one-use-only type of situation there, which is bad for everybody. So, but with a drug dog, it can either be a passive or an aggressive. So when the dog is introduced to these odors, he's told, if, let's say, for example, a passive dog, when he smells the odor inside the container that we use to imprint the odor in the dog's mind, he smells that spot and we say, sit. And as soon as he sits, we're like, good boy, and we give him the ball. And with repetition, the dog learns, when I smell this and I sit, I get my ball. So that's the ability for the dog to desire to actually seek that smell out is where the hunt drive transitions in. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that when he works really hard and he finds that smell, if he sits for me or he scratches, he's going to get his ball. So I've got to test for that. And then we also, with the patrol dogs, we want to test to make sure they're not afraid of loud noises like gunfire. That could be a very detrimental thing if a dog's fearful of loud noises, to include gunfire. We can't have that. We're testing for their confidence and their drive to stand there no matter what's going on and put on the good show and want to do the job. So once we've done the selection of that dog and they come back to Michigan with me, there's about 6 to 8 weeks of training done at the kennel. That's the imprinting of the either the narcotics or the explosives odor, and getting the dog very proficient at that. And then we do what's called tracking, and that's, in essence, your body leaves behind an invisible breadcrumb trail of skin rafts that have fallen off you. It's an invisible trail that you leave behind on the ground that falls away. I mean, I tell kids in schools, if you remember the old Peanuts character, Pigpen, and he had that big cloud around him all the time. Well, we all have that cloud around us, yeah, all the time. And hopefully we don't notice each other's, but the dogs do.
Yeah.
And that falls to the ground. So tracking is when you teach the dog to follow that invisible breadcrumb trail to find the person at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So that training is done with us at the kennel. It's going in and checking a building for somebody hiding in it that may be broken in. That's done. Open area search is somebody hiding in the woods or in a car lot.